Thank you. David, thank you. Best for me to stand up here, is that good?
Yeah, wherever you want to go.
About drowned coming over here.
Yeah,
I know.
It was coming down. So maybe we'll back off a little bit. Let's just cut it off too, if you don't mind.
We don't mind at all.
Well, folks, I am Shane Reeves, and I see a few faces in here I know, but I see a lot of faces I don't know in here. So let me just tell you just a little bit about me. I think first, I am honored to be your state senator. I'm honored to have Camden County in my Senate district. As Dana said, I had Rutherford, Bedford, Marshall, Moore, and Lincoln County. So a big footprint. You have no idea how big that is. You drive back and forth to Fayetteville and Las Casas all day long, so it's a big footprint. But with the redistricting, I picked up Cannon County. And so started the process to meet a lot of the good people over here in Woodbury, and very honored to do that. The Reeveses have lived right down the road in Murfreesboro since 1780. I'm a seventh generation Rutherford Countyan and Murfreesboroan, 240-something years. The Reeveses have been there too long. My great-great-great-great-grandfather named his first daughter Tennessee Reeves in honor of the new state that was going to be founded in 1796. We've been there a long, long time, right down the road from you. Family has been in pharmacy for about since 1900, also in Middle Tennessee. I'm a pharmacist by trade. My dad was Richard Reeves, who had Woodbury Drug Centers here in town with Richie Hunter for many, and John Kennard. Mm-hmm. Dan Scales over here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Dan's still around here or not anymore?
He was.
Okay. So for many years it was a pharmacist. I'm still a pharmacist. I had a pharmacy called Reeves Sane Drugstore in Murfreesboro for a number of years, and I'm still a pharmacist. I married out of my league to Amanda. It's too wet to get her out tonight. She said, you can go without me.
I don't blame her.
We have three wonderful children. One that's 23, is out of the house. I've got a 20-year-old trying to find himself and know what he's going to do yet. And a young daughter at home. But I will tell you, I have a 15-year-old girl at home, and we did have a breakthrough at the Reeves' house this last weekend with my 15-year-old. She's got all the personality in the family. She said, Daddy, for the very first time, I think I'm finally proud you're a Tennessee State Senator. So it's official. I'm the most popular Tennessee State Senator in my own house. She's got all the personality. I'm committed to my five core values of faith and family and career and service and health. Problem with your health is when you run for office, people feed you everywhere. So you're eating pancakes and fried chicken and catfish, and it's hard to keep your health where it needs to be. I've started a new diet. This year, the BBC diet, buy bigger clothes. I'm going to tell you three things. And I'll kind of go down the path in whatever direction you want to go, Dana, I will. But I want to tell you three things tonight. And some of it's on this sheet right here, which makes things pretty easy. But here's the first thing. If Tennessee was a business, we're the most healthy financial businesses you could possibly own. We are one of the absolute most well-managed states, hands down, in the country financially. I mean, you can look at the numbers on there. Number one in government credit rating, number one in long-term fiscal stability, number one in personal income tax rate, number three in debt, some other things, number five in job growth, number six in top states for business, number two in tax burden, et cetera, number three in pension fund liability. I mean, we really, really, really are an incredibly healthy state. Our governor just got sworn in a couple weeks ago, rolled out a brand new budget, $55 billion budget, and you can kind of get a sense of where all the money goes. We spend 80 cents of every dollar on five things. What do you think those are, without looking?
Education.
Education, big one. What else are we putting money into?
Roads.
Roads, a big one.
Healthcare.
Tencare is a really big one. Jails, criminal justice. And then social programs, your DHS, a lot of your social, but 80 cents of every dollar goes to those five things in the state. And the governor just had his inaugural speech a few weeks ago, and had his inaugural event he had in Nashville. Talking about my daughter again. My daughter went with my wife and I to a dinner that night when the governor was there. And my daughter's favorite country music star is Morgan Wallen. You may have heard of Morgan Wallen in here. Mm-hmm. He's a big name for young people. So she still asks me about once a week if Morgan Wallen is governor, and I say no. Anyway, so Governor Lee had his State of the State, and he's putting money into a lot of things this year. But the big investments this year, number one, is around infrastructure. It's around roads. If you've been following that, but he's putting $3 billion into roads, specifically around our big urban centers. I mean, I don't know when the last time it is you tried to drive from Murfreesboro or Woodbury to Nashville, especially in the mornings or at nights. It's so bad. So they're putting some significant infrastructure in place and roads. That's a big investment this year. Going to have four new state parks around the state of Tennessee. We're going to take care of our natural resources. Opening up some more technical education schools, our TCAT programs. Our school superintendent's not here, is he? No. You know, there's a building you've got here in town that they were looking at for TCAT here for a while. Yes, and I was going to tell him tonight, it's not in that list of what they're looking at doing, so we need to talk to somebody about getting that back on track here. He's also going to put money into safer schools for kids. We're trying to get an SRO at all the different school systems, including here in town. We need them here in this community. And he's also wanting to put some money into just different energy sources like nuclear energy to recruit more companies to move to Tennessee for nuclear energy. But that's a lot of the big things where the money's going to go. But I think the big point I want to make to you there is Tennessee's a healthy place financially. It really is. It's a conservative place. There's a lot of things we need to work on. But from a money perspective, we're doing a really good job. Second point I want to make, too, is this. I got elected in 2018. Like I said, I'm a pharmacist by trade. I got elected in 2018, and since that period of time, I've had five counties, and now with you, I've had six over the whole period of time. And I've just about decided that if counties are going to be successful, they really need to have about five things going for them. And I listed these five difference makers on there. Five things. Number one, you've got to have a commitment to education. And I know we've had a lot going on here in education in Cannon County in the last number of months, which I kind of heard about when I started getting elected for office. You've got to have a commitment to health care, which means you need to find a way to make sure you keep your hospital open over here. Because if you lose your hospital here in town, that's a problem. Somebody has a heart attack or falls off a tractor and you don't have a hospital, that's a problem of some kind. Number three, you need to have infrastructure. That's roads and bridges and utility here in town. Number four, you've got to have public safety. That's your sheriff, your ambulance services, your fire departments. And the last thing is, you've got to have jobs in the economy. And if you are missing any five of those things in a particular county, the county will suffer for it. They really will. It holds the county back. If you can have some level of commitment to move those five areas forward, the counties really can continue to thrive. And I'm not going to read all these numbers on here, but you can kind of get a sense of how we're doing in all these different areas. You know, Tennessee's number five in high school graduation rate, and number 41 in teacher pay. Under jobs in the economy, we're number two in overall economy. We're number 42 in the poverty rate around the country. Under crime and safety, we're number 14 in gun ownership rate. We're number 48 in violent crime. But kind of what can we see 48 in violent crime? It's mainly domestic abuse in Tennessee. We've got a fairly significant problem with domestic abuse, which puts us there. Under infrastructure, number two in road quality, number 43 in broadband. And at the very last one, there's health. And that's near and dear to my heart. I mean, that's what I do for a living. And for as healthy as we are financially, we're not healthy physically in how Tennesseans take care of themselves. And you can look at those numbers. 31 in obesity rate, 37 people without health insurance. It's out of 50 states. 44 in life expectancy. We just got passed by Arkansas in life expectancy. So you live longer in Arkansas than you do in Tennessee at this point, based on these new metrics that are coming out. 45 in diabetes, 45 in heart disease, 46 in cancer rate. So we've got lots and lots of work to do on health in Tennessee. So this session, of all the bills that I'm carrying, at least half of them are in some way tied to health. And I can spend a lot of time on those things if you want me to, but A lot of those bills, and Dana, I can talk more specifically about any individual bills you want me to talk about tonight. But I think the point I really want to make in this whole middle section, because this is a big deal for Cannon County, okay? I want to be your senator, okay? And I want to be your voice in Nashville. I really, really want to be. And in these areas here, I need Cannon County's help for you to tell me what's important to you. What are your priorities? Where do you want to put your focus? Where can I go to bat for you in Nashville? If it's a road, Mr. Womack, let me go to bat. Let me go work for you and try to make a difference where I can make a difference down there, because that's important. So it's important the community and the leaders of the community come together and kind of help me prioritize where I can put my focus for you while I'm in Nashville. So, and then the third point, I think the second big point I want to make is the county, really the Tennessee is only as strong as the county, but the third point that I want to make is Tennessee's growing like crazy. It really is. And we're having 85,000 new people move to Tennessee every single year. 85,000 people every single year. And they're moving in here from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Moving in here from California and Illinois and New York and all over the place.
We've got some.
Yeah. I met my very first group from Vermont that had moved into an area. Moved in here from everywhere. You know, trying to come be part of what the great things we're doing here in Tennessee. And I will routinely tell them, I'm glad you're here. But I want you to embrace who we are as Tennesseans. Our culture and our chemistry and our history and our conservative way of governing, because I don't have any interest in the world in being a Southern New Yorker or an Eastern Californian, so I want you to become a Tennessean. Because Tennesseans are good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the farmers and the teachers and the pastors and the business people. Tennesseans are just good, good people. And I want to do what I can to continue to protect those good people. You know, Tennesseans are flag on the front porch and a dog on the back porch and going to church on Sunday mornings and football games on Friday nights and just good, good people. And I want to do my part to try to protect Tennessee. Rural Tennessee, suburban Tennessee, whatever it might be, moving forward. But a big part of Tennessee's greatness, I'm just convinced more and more, even in crowds like this, it's just the goodness of its people. There's so many good people that mean well. You know, they're committed to their faith and family and country and do my part. One last thought, then I can take specific questions, talk about individual bills. There's not many benefits of driving back and forth to Nashville every day, except I spend a lot of time listening to different podcasts and books and a variety of things that I've been driving back and forth when I'm doing that. And about 2 weeks ago, when I was doing that, I stumbled onto some kind of show that was talking about the history of money in America. Or where our currency came from. Now, I didn't know this. But if you look on the back of the $1 bill, have y'all ever seen the little pyramid on there with the eye? I've got it up here in the top corner up here of this page. I always knew that was on there, kind of the all-seeing eye of God. But one thing I never knew was this. Above it, it says, "Annuit coepitus." This was put on the $1 bill over 200 years ago, and that basically means God has shown favor upon our new country. God has nodded toward our undertakings. And I think He's still nodding toward our undertakings. And I think He's blessing Tennessee in a major way. We need to do our part to try to continue to protect it like it is. But I'm honored to be your state senator. I can talk about individual bills. I can take questions. Dana, whatever you want me to do at this point. But
well, I feel like there's some questions that are going to come from the audience. But
okay.
Is there any bills up for to be voted on this spring that you feel maybe we need to be aware of?
As Cannon County or just Republicans or?
Well, anything.
Anything?
Yeah.
Well, sure. The only thing that we are constitutionally required to do is pass a budget, believe it or not. The truth is we could go down there, pass a budget, and come back home. And you know, what's the old saying? When we're down there, either we're doing something for you or something to you. So He really wants to get us back home as quick as we can. But there's 1,600 other bills introduced down there every session, and you end up passing about three or 400 in that number by the end of it. In the last couple of weeks, we came out of the gates hard with some pretty controversial bills in the last couple of weeks. And literally, our first piece of legislation that we passed in the Senate 2 weeks ago had to do with this new transgender situation that's been going on. And basically what it said was, you can't be a minor You can't be under the age of 18 in the state of Tennessee and have permanent life-altering surgery and hormones to change your gender. Now, when you turn 18 years of age in one day, you knock yourself out. But up until that period of time, you cannot change your gender through surgery or through hormones. That was the very first vote. We started off with a bang this year in session. We also passed another, again, very controversial bill for a lot of folks, another transgender bill. It had to do with, they call it the drag show bill. But what it really was around the state, there were, in very public settings, there were men putting on drag shows. And it wasn't just dressing up like women. They were doing very lewd sexual acts around squares, including Murfreesboro. And they had a lot of small children there that were coming up putting $1 bills and things in these men's, whatever. And we just said, you know what, if you want to do that in the privacy of your home or in some kind of public setting with adults, that's fine. But you can no longer have those lewd sexual acts and dress up and drag in public sections. So that passed too. So that's really the first couple bills we've taken on in Tennessee. Which again, controversial, but I feel like that's part of who Tennessee is.
Absolutely.
Lots of bills. We're early. You got to remember, I've only been there a few weeks. We're early in session. We've got a lot of bills in February, March, and April. If I do this for you again in April, Willow, I've done a lot. But a number of my bills have to do with health care. Mm-hmm. And I've got some bills that I'm working on for banking and insurance and a couple of bills around education that I think are important. I'm trying to help my friend back here with the road situation. I see a couple of folks that came to see me the other day regarding this road situation, and they called me today for whatever it's worth. I told them I had a group of people coming to see me tonight that also had that on their mind, and we're supposed to have a meeting next Friday, right, Rob?
For those of who are here that's not familiar with what you're talking about, would you give them a little update on it, please?
I will. I'm kind of getting in on the tail end of this. When did you call me, Rob? Last fall, maybe?
I think according to the meeting we had with TDOT, it was in June.
You and I got together in June. And you said this thing's going on, and I wasn't even representing the county at that point in time, but come over here, I've known him for years through school. To come see what was going on. He said they're going to make this intersection. And I started making some calls and checking into it a little bit. And again, we were kind of under the impression early on, it's over close to his market. We were under the impression early on that early design, don't let me put words in your mouth, was something you can kind of live with. To some extent.
Well,
And we're talking about Parsley's Market.
Parsley's Market.
Well, the issue for us was always that no one really knew about it. Or, I mean, I guess there were some people that knew about it, but no one in the community knew about it. We certainly didn't know about it. When we contacted our representative on the county commission in this county, she didn't know about it. Other elected officials didn't know about it. And by the time we found out about it, we were told it was already too late.
It's pretty far down the road.
So we were just trying to find what we can do and what could happen.
That's right.
And then you go down further down the road, when the road construction starts, and what's happening was put into the newspaper, there's been a public outcry, at least in that community. And so we called Senator Reeves again and see if there's anything that he can help us with or anything that can be done, or if the community did in fact, are in fact happy with this. You know, we weren't trying to demand any change or anything. We were just trying to hopefully let the community have a say-so on what was going on. And we do have a meeting with TDOT and Senator Reeves.
At your store.
Friday, February 24th.
Bring Parsons. Bring a crowd.
Is it open to the public?
Yes.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Bring everybody. Whatever time
it's coming. Because that's the whole thing, is we would like for people to have their opinions known about it, you know, because we feel like no one did.
I'm concerned this got done a number of years ago, and some people made the decision on it from what at our meeting. They said that some different folks in town had kind of agreed to whatever the original plans were, and I think they bid it out, and I don't even know who's doing the work, whatever company's doing the work, but it's moving down the road.
Oh, yeah.
So I think my request the other day to TDOT was, can we just hold for a week? Let's just talk about it and see what's going on and try to get some feedback from the community. I know you made some good comments the other day. I appreciate you.
Our business, maybe it's not as much as Rob, but our business, we have an antique store up the Brakeville Road about a half a mile off 70. And I don't, now if you're coming from Murfreesboro, we have some good loyal customers, well, Pete, I'm sure.
Right.
If you're coming from Murfreesboro, it'd be easy to get to. But if you're coming, say, off the interstate to Cookeville, Sparta, back home, I don't think they'll go down toward Murfreesboro and turn around and come back to the Brakeville Road.
Well, tell them
That's a personal claim. You
know. Come on Friday and tell them that.
What time is it on Friday?
Yeah.
Friday at 10:30.
And not only that, it's going to affect the side roads because a lot of people know how to get around. And they're little bitty rough roads with neighborhoods with children and all that traffic. They're not going to do that. They're going to cut through the side roads.
And the county mayor and the county road commissioner, and they made that point known to TDOT. Is that Tuesday?
And we live on those side roads. We don't just work on them.
What Friday, the 24th is the day for you to let all that happen? Because we feel like we didn't get a chance to say all that because nobody
what time
knew
was
about it.
It was 10:30 on Friday.
You know, I just came out from being a commissioner in September.
Is that tomorrow?
4 years. I never heard a single thing about the J-turn. The only thing that was ever discussed that I'm aware of with Senator Capote was Commissioner Floyd at the time was representing the district, her and Russell Reed. And they asked Senator Capote what it would take to get a traffic light there. And he did a little research and come back and said it was going to cost $300,000 for a traffic light there. And TDOT had done a study, and they said there was not enough accidents there for them to warrant putting a traffic light in at their cost. But if the county wanted it, the county could pay the $300,000, and we could get the traffic light there. I never heard that there was any, you know, real request for that. There was, you know, a few people that said yes, but the majority of people said they didn't want a traffic light there. So it kind of died down. But in no time in 4 years was we ever told or was it ever mentioned that there would be any type of J-turn. And what I'm hearing is this is a $2 million cost.
Wow.
I'm learning that you're lying, Rob.
Yeah. John Barker. A roundabout for a fourth of the cost.
Yes, sir.
John Barker, thank you, Senator Reeves, for meeting with us on Tuesday. Rob, Ben, Mark, myself, our county executive, our county road superintendent, and our county road commissioner, and a representative from the Rock Quarry Senator on Tuesday, and DOT was there, virtual, and one of the representatives, and we had a good meeting. And the results of that is the meeting next Friday, the 24th, 10:30, at Rob's store. And if you are, and being stolen, excuse me, I'm going to leave you out. If you are affected by that intersection, I would encourage you to be there. I mean, we are where we are today. The past is in the past, but maybe we can do something for the future. And the state DOT has said we will listen, and they put off their work for a week. So if you're affected, if you drive through that intersection every day, if your business comes through that intersection, if your loved one lives somewhere down the road and you think the ambulance might not get there if they have a slip and fall, be there. And that's where we are at this point.
And we need to share all those examples. Because the other day with you, you know, I've been talking to Rob about this, about your business, but there's a lot more to it than that. You know, from the rock quarry not being able to get across, talking about the tractors not being able to get on the
agricultural equipment.
That was an issue on that. The EMS services, that's a problem. I'll do the best I can, folks. I will. We'll get an audience and we'll try.
Do you have any idea?
Apparently, there was a meeting in 2018. Isn't that what they said, guys? With some folks here in the county, and the decision was made. Is what I heard them say.
The result of that meeting just didn't get out. Corey had mentioned some of the ones that were there. They are no longer in office now, and they didn't feel the need to fill in the other people in the county or do anything else about it. So it was kind of just set aside, I would think, with the lack of importance in their minds. So that's where it ended up from 2018.
So just so I'm aware, and I don't know if everyone else knows this or not, let's say next Friday
prior to next Friday. As of right now, the construction that's going on, what are they doing? If nothing changes, what's going to happen?
It's going to be a J-turn.
If nothing happens, you cannot drive straight down 64 from where the Westside Elementary School to the market and drive straight across. If you're going to go to Bradyville, you'll have to turn right towards Murfreesboro, go down to Barker Road, make a U-turn in the highway, come back down to Bradyville Road, and go to Bradyville. If you're coming from Bradyville and you want to go to Murfreesboro, you'll have to turn towards Woodbury, go down almost to Hoover Road, make a U-turn, and then go to Murfreesboro. There will be a barricade in the middle. There will be no crossing straight across on Bradyville Road.
How will that prevent any more accidents than what there is?
I mean, I don't understand that.
You still have people...
Need after this, they gave us a list of numbers. Didn't they say 23 deaths? Something like that? 23 fatalities?
Right there at that spot.
No, just one fatality.
But 23 accidents, one fatality. That's what it is. And they also said, I did hear them say that a red light is not an option. It never has been an option.
Why?
That's right. They said there was a federal law.
Well, it'll cause a red light. It will cause some accidents. They got one on a four-lane road. It on the Murfreesboro Road, right past, essentially off-road down there. It's been there for years and still causes wrecks because people are not thinking about a red light popping up in the middle of a four-lane road. And that is the big downside of having a red light. And while I'm talking, if Tennessee's growing like it looks like it is, it would appear to me likely be a better to invest than an overpass type situation there. It's costly, but it's growing, and that's on the about as close to Rutherford County as you're going to get, and it moves this way. And one other thing I'd like to say, now I am pro-law enforcement, I believe in 100%, but you cannot, and I don't know that I've ever seen a state trooper sitting anywhere close to that crossroad. They will sit and hide and try to get you coming in from work or trying to go to a store or somewhere, but they will not sit where the problem is. I'm saying that to say this, east side is a developing problem too. Now Darrell will have some deputies out there every so often. I know he stretched thin, and you'll see one state trooper maybe a morning or two after a bad accident. But we're not using our law enforcement for safety. We're using them for revenue, and they need to be used for safety instead of another form of revenue. And that's what they're really being used for now. I think anybody to tell you the truth will verify that. We know where they all sit. They're not going to catch any local people. But they won't go to where the problem is until the accident happens. And I would like for somebody to address it. It's not just here. It's some other places too. You have a state trooper sitting in the county here in the city limits catching people. I guess that keeps up.
The state DOT did mention the speed limits. And one of our recommendations was to reduce the speed limit at the county line rather than just close to that.
That's good.
And they talked about 80% of the people that came through that intersection were over speed.
That's why I said that.
The last ticket I got was $182, and I remembered it, and I stopped every time.
That's why enforcement would do.
Enforcement
would help. That'd be the cheapest solution to it. I mean, if I don't think cops going to be there, I sure ain't going to take a chance on it. And I mean that with all the sincerity that I can muster.
Sure. Well, they called me, the guy that was in the room with us called me this afternoon and said, well, I want you to know I've talked to this company that got the bid. It is a couple of $1 million. What's the name?
Tinsley. I think they did.
That may be the name of the company. Yeah, it's gotten the bid, and I said, well, we're asking them to please not do any significant work for the next week till we can have this meeting. He told me that, and then I said, well, I hope TDOT's willing to come and listen and make some reasonable changes to try to address the situations and not ignore safety. That's their job. So I don't know what that looks like, but I tend to think they're going to listen to you as much as they're going to listen to me.
Do we have anyone that, after a paving job is done, that inspects that work? And I'm asking this because there are some... pretty good stretches, but the pavement between Camden County and all the way into McMurray is some of the roughest.
Yes.
And it'll a small car, it'll really move them around. Mm-hmm. There are ruts in it. It's just been there. But somebody didn't look at the job that was being done. The lanes are not even level with each other in a lot of places. And just as you're coming towards town from east side, there can be some big holes there before long. So somebody's not inspecting the jobs that's getting done.
Ask T-Dot Friday about it.
Same company that's doing this, the same company did that.
Yes, sir.
They did that.
My issue is down the roadway, right here at the SRM plant. I got three issues with that, and I'm sure a lot of other people around here have. And it's the excess dirt and everything that comes out of that plant.
It's awful.
Well, my suggestion would be, T-Dot's not doing their job of monitoring it. And if they can get the owner to pave that area coming out, that would help that debris not getting on 70. Because 70 is supposed to be the scenic route. That's one. Number two I have, that they're supposed to pay a mineral tax on loads coming out. But from what I hear, that they're stating that they're exempt because they're going to a concrete plant. Well, we should get a hold of the state comptroller to have him have some type of form that would tie that truckload to a plant to verify that that's where it's going, because we're losing a lot of mineral tax in there.
Okay.
The third thing I have is that I live just about a mile from the quarry.
Yes.
And when they set off their blasts, they need some type of monitoring system to find out what type of loads they're putting in the ground.
The plumes that are going up are pretty high.
Yeah, and what I've noticed is that the trucks that come out of the SRM plant that's down at the four-way that people are talking about, when those loads come out, they're dripping wet. I mean, you got water running out of it, so they're watering them down. The ones out of here, they're not doing that. If they did, you'd really have a mush pit over here. So they need to do something for that entry-exit area, have it go back into that plant somewhere.
Paving job, you want it done... You want it done all the way in there or just up toward the road?
Far enough to where they're not dragging it.
Okay.
So if you're a motorcycle rider and you hit any of those pebbles, you're going down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you seen, do you know where they're talking about?
I know where SRM is, and I haven't paid attention to what he's talking about.
When you come across that bridge, there is this much gravel on the side of that bridge all the way down where they come out. And it just wiped that.
Plus, you got that creek, and it could contaminate the creek when they do clean it off. So, we got an issue there for environmental to push this.
Look at all three of those things.
I've got it on good faith that you need to distinguish the names of these two particular quarries. What he's talking about is SRM concrete, and when you go talk to whoever you talk to, that's who you need to talk to, because a lot of people there's been a lot of talk about this in the state level, but they're getting it confused with the Stones River Quarry, which is the four lane.
Which they do a little better job is containing their dirt, because you don't see what you see here at the bridge over there at four way coming out. It's maintained a lot better. I don't know if they got it. I never looked at how the interaction there. But this one over here at the bridge, I mean, it's right up to 70. And like I said, if they did try to go out there and hose it down and clean it up, that stuff's going to wind up in the creek anyway.
I called T-Dex multiple times, and I can say this with as much niceness as I can, but that's about the most useless conversations I ever had. Because when you come across from Murfreesboro coming home, and you top the hill right there in the summertime, there is a cloud of dust as big as this courthouse coming from that rock quarry every day. And I mean, that dust is flowing all across the county. And I asked the guy, you know, of course they're supposed to be doing whatever it is they're doing to keep that dust down. I said, I will video this for you and show it to you. He said, we don't accept videos from citizens. We have to be there. I said, come. All you have to do is show up. It's every day.
What's the name of that quarry?
SRM.
SRM quarry.
Yeah, it's Smyrna Ready Mix.
I was thinking that was a concrete company.
Yeah.
But they're blasting rock there too. Then.
And listen, I live up at the
top. Yeah, they're
not supposed to water. Do they ever blast?
Yeah.
It'll scare you to death miles away.
I have watched you talking about two different groups. Okay,
I'd like some feedback.
Yeah, the guy that partially leases Stones River Quarry, and that's Hawkins, I believe.
That's Blue Water.
Blue Water, two different companies.
That's a different company.
Yeah, Hawkins got those.
John Gardner, I think the issue is that Smyrna Ready Mix Quarry claims that all of their rock goes into the manufacture of concrete. Therefore, they pay no service tax to Cannon County.
You need a state comptroller to make a form that needs to track that load.
Now, that's debatable whether 100% of their rock goes into.
I got some on my driveway. Right. I know it's not true.
I do too.
So, our county road department, that's a concern to them too, with no service tax when they're coming into the county.
Yeah, we're missing that.
And if indeed it's all going to concrete, that's one thing. But
mineral tax and severance tax.
Yes.
Same thing. Okay.
It means I'm very attractive.
All right, I'll look into that. I can do that. What else going on in Cannon County? Yes, ma'am.
I just have two things. Just background, I used to be a transportation planner. I'm actually a city planner for Murfreesboro.
Okay.
And when I hear the traffic solutions, at least what I see, you know, when we do traffic studies, they do signal warrants. Mm-hmm. They look at traffic going one direction, traffic going the opposite direction. Most likely 70S is far more traffic than cross traffic.
Right.
Probably doesn't warrant a signal, not to mention the $350,000, which is standard for a signalization. Potential option that they would have, which actually reduces traffic, doesn't cost you long-term electricity to power them up. Other states do it more, I don't know, because we're still new to Tennessee, is they look at roundabouts. It's a different, you know, animal. We do some in Murfreesboro. They're not done as frequently, but they tend to reduce the traffic hazards, keep the flow of traffic better, and they're definitely not $2 million. They're probably closer to, you know, maybe that big, maybe about a 1.2, which is why they
don't slow traffic down.
But it slows down traffic, and if you're doing a J-turn, think about it. It's common sense. If you're getting into a median and you're making a U-turn, you have to bring up to speed that traffic. So unless they're building widen the lane to give you an acceleration lane, you're going to cause more accidents from people jamming up on those people trying to turn U-turns. And if you think about it, if your buses are going through every single day, the safety of our children, I think, should be paramount. And if they're not taking those things into the mix, and I definitely say the types of traffic that go through that intersection, it's not just regular vehicles, it's
big trucks.
And if you're on any of those things, even now when it's choking down in one lane, people are jamming on their brakes because it takes quite a while for the big trucks to get up to speed. So again, if they're having to force U-turns and you put them into regular traffic, it defies common sense. That's my 2 cents on that. And then the second question I have is I heard that the state legislature was looking at the Senate and the House, two different versions of, I'll call it, I think it's Delta 8 and Delta 9 regulations. And my only concern would be is allowing cities to make their own rules and regulations on whether they want certain things rather than it being forced all the way down the state. I think that, you know, what we're seeing and hearing as we're doing research into those areas, Delta 9, a lot of it leads to suicide with children. Children, it's automatic. It should be, you know, got to be over 21 and older. But sometimes wanting those tax bases and such and making it across the board, I think they should do a carve-out if a city chooses a different direction, that they have that opportunity. So I'm not saying don't pass it,
sure,
because it's great to have something rather than nothing.
It's the only thing, and I haven't seen, there may be a lot more legislation than I've seen, because it is early in session. The only thing I've seen on Delta 8 is trying to ensure that people are 21 before they can get it. It's all the only thing that I've seen.
And taxing.
Yeah, there may be something on that piece too, but you have to be 21 to get it, which I'm not so sure is not a good idea.
Well, I'm not familiar with what that. What is this?
So Delta 8 is a derivative of hemp, and so
it's in the gummies.
Okay.
as the gummies, but Delta 9 is basically more along the chemical lines and is really not a natural, so it's legal to sell in the state. And the problem becomes is when it's in edibles, most people over-ingest it. And when they over-ingest it, you have higher rates of suicide. And of course, if you're working with kids who are most vulnerable, they're already having issues with those without those being added to it. But some jurisdictions may choose to not have it at all. And it's already difficult with opioids and all the other things hitting our society, but from general health, it's not a natural substance.
So I don't, not to back up on you, I don't know if that area...
But you're a pharmacist. You might be able to figure
the,
out.
No, the Delta 8 I get. I know more about Delta 8 than I do roundabouts. But I've said I'm not totally sure that area is a candidate for roundabout. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Are you going to come Friday, next Friday?
Well, it's during the, sounds like during the work day.
Okay.
But I'm thinking I could probably get my husband on the cell phone and...
Well, just talk, we can ask them. Again, I don't know. It's kind of like this. I didn't know there was you couldn't put a red light in places, so there may be something involving where you can put roundabouts as well. But we can definitely bring that up for sure.
I've got one more road construction thing. This bridge right here, it's the next bridge you're going across. If you're going back toward Memphis right here. It's the Melton Memorial Bridge.
We got a new sign coming.
Okay. Well, that bridge was built pre-1950s.
Oh, okay.
And I can't stop thinking about the things that I think about, but whenever I'm stopped in traffic right there, I look there, it's crumbling.
Mm, okay.
It's really, really bad. Now, again, I'm going back to the Pody days, but Mark had said that that was on the list, and it was like really high up to be replaced because of the fact that it was so old. I've lived here my whole life, and that bridge has been here at least 53 years, 52 years.
One thing I heard is that they put the wrong sign up.
Well,
it's a Melton Bridge, and it's supposed to have other names under it.
That's
so I've got that coming. That's coming, the new bridge.
The bridge itself?
Yeah, but when's the last inspection for the bridge?
Oh, my God.
Inspection? Is there any requirement for that?
That's over the Stone River.
I would think that probably would fall under TDOT as well. I would think.
Yeah.
We can ask them over here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's 1950s.
Okay.
Well, it gets tested by cars every so often. It's holding up pretty well.
It is. It was built well. I just don't know, you know, if we have at least trimmer and all, you know, is it going to...
It's a better mix of cement back then.
Follow the ocean or what?
SRE.
Yeah, SRE. We'll put them back on there, you know, put some gravel on
them. Let's take it down there.
Yeah.
Anything else on your mind, folks?
This transgender field she was talking about earlier, you said that it was, you're trying to get it where it stopped. Could you elaborate a little bit?
Well, we passed two. The first one I mentioned to you was this, and it really came out of a news story that was in Nashville earlier this year from Vanderbilt Hospital. And what they were finding is that minors, and that's anyone under the age of 18, if you had a young person that had decided they wanted to change their genders at a young age, Vanderbilt was actually either allowing these young people to actually have surgeries, begin the process of changing their anatomy, or secondly, doing hormones to stop all their puberty until they could be old enough to change their gender. So all we said was, just don't think that's appropriate for 13, 14, 15-year-olds to be doing that. If you want to be 18, you're an adult.
There's my point. But, what is there a possibility that the taxpayer of Tennessee it may have some possibility that we pay them for, even if they are over 18.
Yeah, TennCare is not paying for it, and that would come out of our pocket, so it's not being paid by us.
I don't want my money paying for none of that.
No, and it's not. Won't be. You know, again, if you're an adult in the state of Tennessee and you've got your own commercial insurance plan, your own cash, you can do what you want to do.
Right, that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
But this is for minors.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know about you, when I was 13, I was playing Atari and
wasn't doing
anything.
Is there anything in the bill that says no state funding at all?
There's no state funding?
Is there anything in that bill that makes that statement?
Yeah, but there's just the only state funding that could pay for it would be our Medicaid program, our TennCare program, and it covers none of those services. I do know that. And I can't imagine what the state funding would pay for health care than TennCare.
So that's you're confident that that's
Well, I'm telling you, I'm never be 100% sure, but I know that TennCare, which covers 1.7 million Tennesseans, it's our state Medicaid program, it doesn't pay for it.
Okay.
I know that. So I don't know where else the money would come from. But that's that we're saying. You know, and I will say this, you know, that was a tough couple of committees, because some of these families are struggling with these young people. And I told some of these families, I said, I can't pretend to understand the situation you're in and what's going on with your children, and I'm sure it's painful, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, I just think we have to look out for all children in the state. You got to be 16 to drive and 18 to drink and vote and have a gun, all things you have to do. And I said, I just don't think you need to be having these surgeries until you're 18.
So. What about sports and things like that? Is there anything in Tennessee that prevents transgender?
We passed that last year.
Passed that last year?
You can't. A young man can't participate in a girl's sport.
Okay.
We passed that last year. Now, I'm telling you, Tennessee may be the last state standing. We're not perfect.
Florida's fighting pretty hard.
What's that?
Florida.
They are fighting pretty hard.
Yeah.
But we got to protect what we got here.
In the news, too.
You know, I'm thankful to be working in Nashville, not Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Really am. At least I feel like we've got some control over what's going on here.
I'm just worried about a lot, like you're talking about a lot of these people moving in, maybe with some of them big grandiose ideas that they're bringing with them. Maybe we can straighten this off before the wave hits.
Most of the people that I meet that are coming here because of the conservative values. They're trying to get away from the taxes in California. But this is also...
The Democrats are awful deep in some of those states.
Well, but it's all. But Tennessee's economy is booming. It's a good place to come live, and especially our Nashville and Memphis and big places. And so, a lot of those folks are just coming for the economic opportunities and to cost of living, raise their families. Look, no income tax, and it's just a good place to be. And you know, their politics may not align with yours, but a lot of people are coming here because they want to be a Tennessean. Yes, sir. How are you? Good to see you tonight.
I'm doing well. Mark Barker.
I know you're
Senator Reeves, thank you for coming together. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you representing us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We've had discussions before, and thank you for what you're doing on these transgender bills. I appreciate that greatly. I wanted to bring up another topic, and I'm just speaking for myself. This may not represent everybody in this room, but I know Governor Reynolds in the state of Iowa just recently passed a voucher bill for education that allowed education dollars to go to the parents of students in the form of a voucher, and they can choose where they send their children to school. I know I came through the Cannon County school system, and we had a wonderful school system. I made a different choice for my two sons, but I think it'd be great for the state of Tennessee to pass a voucher system. I don't know how many, I mean, it could be in one of those 300 or 400 bills. I know we've had discussions in the state before, but I would like for you to support a voucher system for our education and let the parents choose where those dollars are, what school they're invested in.
Right. I'm really kind of just, there's a lot of good public schools too.
They're absolutely.
And my take has always been, you need to send your kids where you want to send your kids. If you want to send them to private school, send them to private school. Public school, go to public school. If you want to homeschool, homeschool. I think the charter schools, those are coming up all over the place. They're building four of those in Rutherford County right now. And those are funded by public dollars as part of the public school systems. I like those. But I'm a big believer in just ensuring that families have got the choice where they want to send their kids to go to school. But at the same time, my mother was a school teacher. And I don't want to step on public school teachers because they're working hard too.
I'm not trying to do that at all.
So trying to find a way to work with everybody.
I guess where I'm coming from is when I made a choice to send my sons to private school, I knew what the playing field was.
Right.
I was paying for an education that they didn't get, and then I turned around and paid for it. You might say, well, that's crazy to do that. But those dollars really ought to be to follow that student wherever they need to go.
You know, we just reformed the whole BEP. Now, if you followed all of that, we've had the BEP, which is the formula we use to fund education, and that's been in place for 50 years. Last year, we completely reconstituted that. It's called TISA now, which is Tennessee Innovative for Student Achievement. And basically, the dollars do follow the kid now. So if you go to Cannon County, look at the school system, so everybody in this room will be able to bring their child up online and see the exact amount of money that's being spent on their child for Cannon County Schools. So to me, that's a step in that direction, because then you may be able to move those dollars to a charter school program or something else in the community.
I'd like for them to be in the form of a voucher. If someone chooses private education, they can use that voucher for money is spent on education to go to whatever private school they want to send.
Yep. Thanks, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you have a line to Marshall Blackburn?
Do you have a line to her?
Yeah.
You want me to call her right now?
Do you have contact?
Sure.
Because I got a Washington, D.C. question. You know, all this hype the last 2 weeks about Chinese balloons. Sure. What I would like you to ask her is, nobody's looking or asking this question, is that when you see the tape file of them destroying the balloon, was that pilot instructed to destroy the electronics that were on that balloon or just the balloon itself? Nobody's asking that question, because when you look at that photo, that image, that it targeted electronics. It didn't target just the balloon, so everything would come down. They wanted to destroy it. And that's what I'd like you to ask her, to get it out there. How come this happened? You know, who in the DOD instructed that pilot to destroy the electronics rather than just the balloon itself?
Why don't I help get her over here for our
camp? That would be awesome.
Where's your camp kind of benefit?
We haven't set a date yet, but I would definitely let her know.
Why don't we get that done, you ask?
Yeah.
Well, I wish you'd do it. Call her tomorrow and at least get it in the bag. I don't want to wait 3 months.
No one's.
That's government red tape there.
Yeah.
You let her think that wrong one, though.
Yeah. But, you know, at least put it in her ear that, hey, why?
Sure.
None of those people that are on TV are stating that. They say, oh, yeah, we're going to let it fly over the country. And he even flew over Tennessee. Why did that pilot... Was he instructed to destroy the electronics? Why didn't he just pop, you know, hit the balloon and let it all fall through? But now that you got crap everywhere in the Atlantic, I can't stop it.
Anything else I can do for you folks tonight?
Election integrity in Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Anything being done to make sure our elections are fair and safe?
Well, we are currently ranked out of 50 states number 2 in the whole country on having the safest, most fair elections. But in my opinion, I would rather lose an election that was done the fair way than to win an election that I rigged. So I think we've got to continue to look at ways to do that. If it's the voting machines, if it's paper ballots, whatever it might be to make it better. We passed a bill this last time that said if you get absentee voting, it's got a special watermark on it that you can only get in Tennessee to stop people from copying those and mailing them in.
Mm-hmm.
We also passed a bill last session that had to do with nursing homes. You know, sometimes you've got nursing homes that own the properties. So you'll have a big assisted living home and an independent living home all on the same property. And we found some places in Tennessee, when the nursing home had their big voting day, some folks would float over there from the assisted living home and vote, but they also would mail in an absentee ballot as well. So we stopped all that. Can't do that anymore. So it's just chipping away at it. You know, we got fair elections.
Is ballot powers being illegal in Tennessee?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just out of curiosity, I'm going to put you on the spot. You don't have to answer. What are your thoughts on closed primaries?
On closed primaries? I think it hurts the Republican Party in the state of Tennessee. That's what I think. After doing this for the last few years, there's a whole lot of folks that are out there that are Republicans that don't know it, that come out and vote, and I would just be concerned that some of the good farmers and folks that just don't want to declare Republican, but they're going to come vote for you. And I'm just afraid it would hurt the party. Probably not in some counties, but in, I look at Marshall and Lincoln, it'd be a big deal, and maybe Cannon too, I don't know.
It would.
No, I just and I want to continue to be the big tent party. I grew up under Reagan. I'm wired like a Reagan, and I want Tennessee. I want the party to continue to be here for my children and my children's children, and what it looks like, and you know, and it's. I think we've got to be open minded what that looks like, and not hurt ourselves.
Any more questions for Senator Reese?
Make sure to get a card from us when you get out of here, okay? I'll give you all the cards, but. I'm honored to serve you. Call me if I can help you in any way, and I hope to see some of you next Friday. You give me a plate of food.
It's Friday.
It won't be ready by then.
Hey, they got a great breakfast.
Hey, by the time it's over, that fish will be out.
We have several regulars in this room, by the way.
Good breakfast.
We'll do what we can, brother. I promise I'll do all I can.
Thank you so much for coming down. We appreciate it.